The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, January 16th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, expect a delay from the WTO in ruling on Brazil's latest challenge against U.S. cotton. Also, the Congressional Research Service has reported to lawmakers on Farm Bill 2007. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll discuss the recently concluded annual AFBF meeting with Illinois Farm Bureau National Policy Director Chuck Spencer. It's all on the Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City March wheat, 492, down 13 and a quarter, May 499 and a half, down 11 and a half. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat 464, down 15 and a half, May 477, down 15, July 481 and a half, down 12 and a quarter. March corn 403, up 6 and a half, May 413 and three quarters, up 6 and a quarter, July 421 and a half, up 7, December 387 and three quarters, down 6 and three quarters. March beans 708 and a half, down 8, May 723 and a quarter, down 8 and a quarter, July 736 and a half, down 6 and a half, November 757 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. March soybean meal 208.10, down 150. March soybean oil 28.79, down 36. At the Merck, January feeders 94.30, down 27 and a half. February live cattle 92.27 and a half, up 47 and a half. February lean hogs 60.62 and a half, up 25 on the day. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Let's start with the outside markets, and particularly crude oil. It turns cold, and crude oil takes a tumble.
You know, we was in Chicago over the weekend at a big seminar, and most of the big-name speakers were all saying it looked like crude was near a bottom. We come in today, and they weren't quite right yet. The Saudis did make a comment this morning that they would not reduce production, and they didn't think they needed an emergency OPEC meeting, and that was taken as very bearish along the way that they aren't going to cut back and that we are building some stocks and going along here. So, you know, there's some people are saying the target price is $46 to $49. It'll be hit before the end of the month, but you would think the cold weather would get a little rebound in this, wouldn't you?
You would think so. Over at the Chicago Board of Trade, on the opening bell, nearby corn contracts locked limit up ever so briefly and then spent most of the session giving it all back.
Yeah, you know, the overnight session with record trade last night allowed a lot of the people to get out that were trapped on Friday and weren't able to get out like that, and took some of the buying pressure off because it had been filled. And basically a lot of those people just sort of bought and went home, and it took a lot of the enthusiasm out. That, along with the AIG fund supposedly rebalancing and rolling and working through, especially on the close today, you know, it kept things weak along the way. And that and the crude oil prices, the gold prices, silver prices, and everything like that along the way all tended to tell us it was a little bit heavy today. A lot of farmers selling of cash commodities today also. They said that the elevators were very busy. A couple of our farmer customers told us that the big elevators put them on hold for a while to be able to get to them because they were so busy buying grain this morning.
What do we take away with the deferred corn contracts being to the downside?
Well, I think that what it tells us is that in a variable market, the nearbys generally are stronger than the deferreds. We saw the report on Friday at 752 million carryout. We've talked about this numerous times, that we don't think that that's a big enough number for carryout. So rationing has to happen this year for something to happen there, and they would like to own, you know, what we know is there rather than what's yet to be planted. So that's why we kept the strength in the nearby corn and out through July, because that's when they feel it's going to be needed.
AM 580 Agriculture now in the process of taking its own survey of 2007 corn plantings. Todd Gleason out at the Commodity Classic all this week and next. Today in Springfield, he spoke with about 100 producers. He learned this: 28% of the producers plan on planting between 5 and 10% more corn in the spring, 24%, 11 to 25% more corn, and 12% of producers more than 25%. So corn planting's definitely going to be up in the Springfield area if the weather cooperates, Wayne.
I'd say that those are some pretty impressive numbers as far as increase for next year, Dave. I don't think if they take that same poll in the central Indiana is going to get those same figures, but I'm very impressed that it's that much of an increase, because I would have figured that a lot of those farmers would have already been pushing the envelope on their corn plantings.
It is interesting, and of course, Todd, at five more locations this week and next, we'll have the aggregate numbers when we're through with the survey up on our website at WILLAG.org. Give us your impressions of the soybean pit. It looked like it held up fairly well with the crude oil down.
You know, in all honesty, as we looked at what it gained on Friday, of course, when they couldn't buy corn, and with the bean oil down 36, with the meal, you know, down $1, $1.50, the beans actually held in there quite well, especially when you consider that their report is not that bullish. The stocks-to-use ratio still on the high end of things, Dave. It's the net corn price that's holding the beans together.
And, of course, wheat now lethargic once again, down hard today, gave back almost all the gains it made on Friday. Back into now what is now the 12-week down channel, and we're still looking for a downside.
Well, I think, you know, the good snow cover out west, the extra moisture out there, very good for production numbers and what we're looking ahead to. As we know, exports have been very lethargic, and there was a lot of buying in the wheat pit on Friday when they couldn't buy corn. When they were able to buy the corn today, they got out of their wheat.
Did Dow Jones AIG Index Fund reallocate on the close in the wheat pit?
It sure looked like it. You know, I can't say for sure. We haven't seen a end-of-day player sheet, but they're in the corn both. There was selling pressure.
Meanwhile, over in the Merck, it looks like the feeders bounced back very nicely, thank you, after a down day that was triple digits at the beginning.
You know, a little bit of a surprise to see cattle come back the way cattle and hogs show some strength today with the corn prices and the talk of the way things are. But, you know, we've stayed strong in the meat markets, and they did bounce back on the easier feed costs than what they were expecting.
We'll have to wait and see how the balance of the week plays out technically in corn, but at the moment, you're still pretty confident about 3 to 4% sales on new crop?
Yeah, that's fine. And if you know, and you can push it a little more than that if you're an aggressive seller, and what depending on your sales patterns and cash flow needs, these are not bad levels to start putting on some sales. Like I said, we still are long-term friendly. You know, and also with the chances of some possible weather problems, even with decent weather, we're still long-term positive to the market, Dave. But, you know, we can't get wildly bullish until we see something that helps us, you know, want to perk things up a little more. But long-term, positive.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Taking a look at the two-state forecast tonight from Mike Sola. He says, in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy with lake effect snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows ranging from 3 below zero in northern Illinois to near 20 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 22 degrees in northwestern Illinois to 38 in far southern Indiana. Tomorrow, wind gusts relatively calm across the region. A few may reach over 10 miles per hour, but generally winds between 5 and 10. In agricultural news, South Korea and U.S. officials are meeting in Seoul to begin another round of free trade negotiations, but at least one agricultural product, rice, is off the table. South Korea's Agriculture Minister Park Hong-soo says that, and this is a direct quote, "Under no circumstances will we allow rice to be on the negotiation table." The chairman of a World Trade Organization dispute settlement panel says it will be unable to issue a ruling on a dispute of the U.S. cotton program within the normal 90-day deadline. Brazil is charging that the U.S. has failed to comply with an earlier WTO ruling that found U.S. cotton subsidies illegal. The WTO panel chairman, Eduardo Perez Mota of Mexico, says the delay is due to the schedule adopted by the U.S. and Brazil for submissions and hearings. If Brazil prevails, it could request more than $8 billion in annual sanctions of U.S. imports. A final ruling is now expected in early June. The Congressional Research Service has issued its comprehensive report to lawmakers, outlining the issues they can expect in writing Farm Bill 2007. The report covers the 10 titles and 50 subtitles of the 2002 Farm Bill and discusses many of the options already floated by lawmakers. The report identifies two important developments that could substantially reshape domestic support policy: record annual budget deficits in the foreseeable future, and the WTO ruling against U.S. cotton subsidies. Mark Lang is president and CEO of the National Cotton Council. He believes new Congressional Budget Office estimates will lead to hard choices for agricultural dollars,
especially with specialty crops now claiming a seat at the table. I believe that we may find it difficult to serve that many masters with the budget number that will be provided from the Congressional Budget Office. That really worries me because obviously we need an effective safety net, especially cotton does. The grains and the oil seeds are in an enviable position right now given their prices, but we all know that prices do what they do all the time. Where their prices will be 3 years from now, who knows? So I'm sure that they're also worried about making sure there still is a safety net. And I think we're going to have some very serious discussions with all the folks at the table about how we resolve the pressures to be a contributor to balanced federal budget and yet have an effective safety net for U.S. agriculture.
Lawmakers are advised by the CRS report to design a farm bill that meets domestic needs, satisfies international trade obligations, and fits within budgetary constraints. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson has released the membership of the committee for the 110th Congress. It includes Illinois Republican Tim Johnson and Indiana Democrats Brad Ellsworth and Joe Donnelly. A series of workshops to help agricultural producers manage risk and make better financial decisions will be offered in February and March, Todd Gleason reports.
These fast training workshops offer 2 one-day sessions on risk management and financial management, says Paul Ellinger, U of I Extension Farm Financial Management Specialist. You can attend one or both of the days. Exploring risk management and marketing strategies using FAST focuses on tools that help producers make crop insurance, grain marketing, and grain management decisions. Improving your financial management using FAST demonstrates how select tools can be used to prepare and evaluate farm financial statements, conduct cash flow planning, and access grain storage, real estate, and machinery investments. Ellinger says the FAST tools created by the U of I Ag Economist are a series of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets that help make various farm business decisions. Each of the February and March workshops begins at 9 and concludes at 4. The $45 registration fee covers the workshop and includes lunch and materials. There is a discount for attending both events. The price is $65. Registration is due 2 weeks prior to the workshop. Dates and locations for the workshops are February the 14th and 15th in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, February the 21st and 22nd in Urbana at the Holiday Inn, February 28th and March 1st in Rochelle at the Hickory Grove Banquet and Conference Center, and they'll wrap up in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn on March the 7th and the 8th. For complete details on the FAST workshops, check out www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has proposed a rule that would ban certain specified risk materials from cattle from being used in medical products. The rule would cover prescription and non-prescription drugs, vaccines, and medical devices used for people or ruminants. The rule would ban the use of brain, skull, or spinal cords from cattle 30 months and older, and tonsils and small intestines from cattle of any age. Shares of a number of fertilizer companies are trading near or at 52-week highs. Merrill Lynch and Company analyst Don Carson says USDA corn ending stocks estimates of 752 million bushels is signaling sharper, higher 2007 corn plantings. University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good.
Not only are we seeing good use of corn for ethanol, but very strong export demand. The USDA actually increased their forecast by 50 million bushels in this month's report. And even now, to get stocks at even 752, which is kind of minimum level, I don't think we can go too much lower than that. That's going to force a fairly large cut in feed use of corn during the current marketing year. The first cut on the using the December stocks number, it does appear that feed use was down during the first quarter of the year. So perhaps we've started making that adjustment already, but we're going to have to continue to see some decline in feed use of corn. Ending stocks, you know, getting pretty close to that 6% of use, slightly above that. That's historically extremely tight.
Tight enough that Good says feed usage may continue to drop as the price of corn works higher to limit demand. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Farm Bill 2007, livestock issues, and permanent ag disaster assistance were some of the issues debated at the recently concluded American Farm Bureau Federation annual meeting in Salt Lake City. One delegate at the meeting was Chuck Spencer, National Policy Director for the Illinois Farm Bureau, and he joins us now by telephone. Good afternoon, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What were one or two of the major issues that AFBF wants to see addressed this year?
Well, I know that the 2007 Farm Bill is a focus for every ag association, and it's a primary focus for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Delegates from Illinois traveled out to Salt Lake City in hopes of making sure that their policy allowed some flexibility in case there was the need to negotiate on the 2007 Farm Bill. I think some of us are familiar with a policy statement that Farm Bureau had put out earlier in the year that said they support an extension of the current Farm Bill until the WTO trade round had concluded. Obviously, no one foresaw that dragging on this long, and that sentence was removed from policy. So the strong support for 2002 Farm Bill concepts, but we were able to add, if the negotiations of a farm bill must take place, the consideration of a concept of a revenue-based safety net in our policy.
What other role did IFB do in setting national farm policy direction this time around?
Well, we were able to insert some language regarding the research of DDGS and its available nutrients to monogastrics or hogs and chicken beyond that of just the cattle or ruminant animals, where they can take a better advantage of digesting DDGS from our biofuel refineries. I think we all know that the livestock industry continues to be concerned about where their feed sources are going to be coming from with the competition for corn in the marketplace. We want to make sure that livestock producers have an adequate market for their feed sourcing. We want to make sure that we can use the byproducts from renewable fuels, and we want to continue to be a reliable supplier of renewable fuels. So hopefully we'll gain more attention in that direction and come up with some successes this year.
Did the beef checkoff assessment garner a lot of attention this time around?
Well, there was quite a bit of attention paid to the beef checkoff proposal. I think we all know the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has been conducting outreach within their association, talking to producers what would be the best action for them to take. There was a lot of discussion on the floor at the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention, and in fact, proposals one way or the other for the checkoff, either support or refrain from support for additional increases. In the end, though, they had a lot of discussion and concluded that they need to be supportive of the beef industry and to have specific language on that in our policy at this time is a little premature.
There was a rejection by delegates of a resolution supporting a permanent disaster program in the Farm Bill. And I suppose, on first glance, you would go, whoa.
Well, a person could. Let's take a look, though, at the detail of what the language was for that proposal. And it was more than just a permanent disaster assistance provision in the Farm Bill, because there was language insinuating that there would also be assistance for increased production costs. And I think that was a concern to a number of Midwestern states, potentially people and producers in other regions of the country, who believe that the majority of their income should come from the marketplace. While no one likes or invites increased costs of production, that is somewhat more of a function of the marketplace, and I think they didn't feel as though it should be placed in a disaster assistance type program. There was an attempt later on in the session to try to bring back an amendment after working on it overnight. Unfortunately, the delegates must have concluded it was too late in the process for reconsideration.
Sometimes these Farm Bill debates can get rather testy, but looking at information that I was seeing in the last week or so, it looks like there was a lot of unity this time around.
That's the surprising part in some respects, that there is a clear indication from the delegates that they do have comfort with the provisions of the 2002 Farm Bill. But they listened very intently to Colin Peterson, the new chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, make his case that the budget pressures will be real and present. He also pointed out that he foresaw a similar provisions of 2002 Farm Bill, and yet further in his presentation mentioned how they were going to have to address a way to deal with disaster assistance potentially on a permanent basis. And Dave, trying to squeeze all of those priorities into a Farm Bill is going to be good. All of our challenges to make sure that they are WTO trade compliant in the world marketplace and also attainable with the budget objectives that the new Congress has set forward.
Thank you very much for your time, Chuck.
Well, thank you, Dave, for calling.
Chuck Spencer, National Policy Director for the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Support for WILL is provided in part by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting on Saturday, January 20th in Terre Haute, Indiana at the University Inn. Lunch will be provided. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Senator Barack Obama plans to formally launch his campaign for president in Springfield. Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines, an early advocate of Obama's candidacy, says he's been told the formal announcement is planned for the capital city. Obama says he's formed an exploratory committee to study a presidential bid and will announce his final decision February 10th. The Champaign City Council votes tonight on a more than 500-acre development on the city's northwest side, and at least one member says he'll support it. Councilman Ken Pira calls the Clearview project the biggest development the city has seen, and that council members owe it to themselves to make it happen. Clearview will include an office park to be included in Champaign's Enterprise Zone. Both Christie Clinic and Carl plan to build facilities there. A Champaign Public Works official says the power is back on and traffic lights operating on the South Neal Street corridor from downtown to Windsor. Roughly 2,500 Ameren IP customers were affected by the outage, which lasted about an hour and 15 minutes. An Ameren IP spokesperson says the outage was caused by a circuit overload that occurred while work was performed on a substation. The trial of one of four men charged in the deadly stampede at the E2 nightclub in Chicago will not move forward this afternoon as scheduled. A Cook County judge says prosecutors can't introduce a housing court order as evidence in club owner's Dwayne Kyle's jury trial, upholding a previous decision that the evidence would be too prejudicial. Kyle's trial is on hold until the appellate court rules. Prosecutors say they'll move ahead with opening statements for three other men charged in the case. 21 people were killed and more than 50 injured in the stampede at the E2 in 2003. A parachuter from Urbana who took a leap off the New River Gorge Bridge in West Virginia landed in trouble after being nabbed by a National Park Ranger on patrol. Rangers say 30-year-old Dennis Taminski of Urbana jumped off the 876-foot-high span yesterday and was arrested after landing on a gravel beach. It's illegal to jump off the world's second-largest single-span bridge without special permission. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Boy, Brazil got some rain over the weekend, and boy, it looks like they're going to get some more rain.
They are going to get some more rain, especially the northern and western and southern areas. Some of the central and eastern areas are going to get a little bit lighter amounts, but many areas of South America, just not Brazil, but Argentina as well, stands a fairly good chance of picking up some moisture.
Are we reaching the point where it's too much of a good thing?
Not at the moment. Now, if we get some very heavy rains on top of those wet areas, that might be a concern, but right now, probably hard to pass up rain this time of year down there, even if it's a little bit too much.
Here in the Midwest, the word is now, brr, it got cold this morning.
Well, here's old man winter. Where was he?
That's
for
right.
All of October, November, and December? But here he is, and the way things are going, the way the jet stream pattern seems to be taking shape, through the rest of this month and into early February, we can expect more cold weather. There's going to be plenty more coming out of the Arctic and Canada into the U.S. for the next 3 to 4 weeks. So this is going to be more the norm now. There will certainly be some warmer spells in between the cold shots, but we're not going to be nearly as warm as we were earlier this winter.
Over the weekend, quite a bit of rain.
Quite a bit of rain. Unfortunately, some of it freezing, as we all know, causing some problems there. There's going to be more rain, especially in the southern plains. As we get into this weekend and early next week, Texas, portions of Oklahoma, and into some of the Delta areas are going to be picking up some moisture.
In fact, the Delta got a lot of rain over the weekend, 5 inches nearly in Tennessee northward.
That's right, and they could get more, especially some of those western areas. But amounts should not be as heavy.
Turn your attention to some more international areas. India, looks like they could use some rain in wheat areas, becoming
they
a concern.
Could. And one thing that does happen when we do have an El Nino in the Pacific is that a lot of times it does get drier in India, and that is certainly the case, and there is no significant rain in the next week in India. It looks to be drier than normal overall of that country.
What other areas are you keeping an eye on these days?
Well, one thing that is a little bit out of the norm when it comes to El Nino is that it does look like rain chances are better for Australia. Especially the central and northern areas have some good chances of rain over the next week or two. And temperature readings close to normal. Europe, temperatures are going to stay a little bit above normal. Europe, though, especially in some of the weak country, is going to be picking up some good chances of moisture.
Thank you much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don joins us every Tuesday afternoon here on AM 580, your agricultural information advantage. And that is today's closing market report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org, and there it will be. This is Dave Dickey.